Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harga coming your way once again, sharing with you another message here from the Lighthouse at Long Lake. As I share the message this morning, my voice is still giving me a little trouble, but I do have a doctor's appointment coming up with a specialist on September the 2nd, so we're looking forward to that. But you bear with me this morning. I'll try to do the very best I can do. I'm hoping it'll get a little better as we get going along. You tune me in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others have tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. And also over in the Lowell area, 100.3 FM. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Ionia station and the Greenville station by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Also, some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. And then when you see messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse up over that and current media will show up. Click on current media and the top message is the message for today. I need to say thank you to those that help us with the financial part of our broadcast time. And I'd like to begin today with Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years and still attend there. Our weekend of worship now, we're being able to be in the building, so our weekend of worship starts at Shiloh at 6:30 Saturday evening, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street in Greenville, that service begins at 11 o'clock. Also want to thank Bill and Judy Hammond for their financial support, for Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area for their financial support, and to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. So we're just glad for the financial support that we have for our services today. A big thank you to Kay and Kingsinger for picking out our music for today. And as we look forward to the message this morning, we're just asking the Lord to speak to each one of our hearts of something that we see every day. We see light and we see darkness. My wife and I were taking a key up to my daughter and her children that were in the UP and couldn't find some camping spots, so they came down to stay in my cabin, but they didn't take a key with them, so we ran up to the cabin on Tuesday, stayed overnight and mowed the lawn and came back home on Wednesday, but they arrived there and everything was beautiful. We had some good time together, and so that was kind of one of those spur-of-the-moment decisions that come sometimes turn out to be some of the very best blessings of our lives when we have to do something on the spur of the moment. Well, as we consider our message for this morning, let's get ready with a song and hoping my voice will get stronger as we come back to the message time and what we want to hear from God's word. And this song is just simply telling us it was out of darkness that God brought about light. And God has that power and he has that ability out of darkness to bring about light. So here we go, ready to go this morning, and God bless you.
Out of my darkness, Jesus' blood has won the fight. Into his likeness, what a wonderful sight. Making my way into his kingdom so bright. Out of my darkness and into his light. Out of my darkness, Jesus' blood has won the fight. Into his likeness, what a wonderful sight. Making my way into his kingdom so bright. Out of my darkness and into his light.
Stumbling in in darkness,
I was bound up in sin.
Constantly losing the battle within. But what a great transformation, oh, the glory did roll.
On that wondrous day, my name was added to the roll.
Then I came
out of my darkness, Jesus' blood has won the fight. Into his likeness, what a wonderful sight. Making my way into his kingdom so bright. Out of my darkness and into his light.
Long ago and far away, a tomb was occupied. The victim of a cruel death was tightly sealed inside. But then the victim turned to victor when the stone was rolled away.
He stepped outside, the darkness died. His light remains today. His light remains today. Out of my darkness, Jesus' blood has won the fight. Into his likeness, what a wonderful sight. Making my way into his kingdom so bright. Out of my darkness and into his light.
Yes, I came
out of my darkness, Jesus' blood has won the fight. Into his likeness, what a wonderful sight. Making my way into his kingdom so bright. Out of my darkness, out of my darkness,
I came
out of my darkness and into his light.
Well, there we go. We gotta stop. Out of my darkness and into his light. What a glorious light the Lord Jesus is for each and every one of us. And we all have had experience of darkness. We've all had experience of light. I was thinking as I was putting this message together, when my wife and I were first married, we was going to take a little vacation down in the Kentucky area, and we went into one of those tunnels or caves that they have, you know, and it was really lights all along the way as we traveled down into the earth, so to speak, four ways. Right now, I can't even make that come to my mind what it was called, but anyway, as we were down in those caves and our guide that was there with us, he said, now, what we're going to do is we're going to have the lights off for just a few moments. It isn't going to be very long. Don't want you to get scared. He said, but we want you to feel the thing of total darkness. Total darkness. And, you know, being young, we was not too concerned about that. But I'll tell you, the minute they turned that light out, I tell you, I never seen darkness as dark as that was. That was really darkness. And the whole world was covered with darkness. And God brought about light. Well, before we get started for our message this morning, I want to remember you, the listening audience that's tuned me in this morning. I just trust that God will be with you in a very special way, and I'd like to pray for you. If you have some unspoken request, something that's kind of heavy on your heart, something that you're thinking about a lot, something that sometimes even keeps us awake at night, that you might just focus on that as your unspoken request. And I'm going to ask the Lord to bless all of the unspoken requests this morning. So let's bow together for a moment. Dear Father, once again, we come to you. We come in that wonderful name of Jesus. We come, Father, because you tell us your ear is always open unto our cry. We come, Father, because you said we can ask and we will receive. We can seek and we will find. And we can knock and it'll be opened unto us. Even the Lord Jesus taught his disciples that when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. So we're coming to our Heavenly Father today. and we're asking that your special blessing would be upon our time together. I want to pray for my voice. It's just given me a lot of trouble this morning, so I just pray for myself first here, that we might be able to get through this program and share it in such a way that it'll be able to be listened to and learned from. But Father, the reason I'm here this morning, the reason I'm over here to the lighthouse on this Wednesday, Thursday day that I'm putting the tape together, the reason I'm here, Father, is because I love having the listening audience. And I want to remember, they're my congregation today. They're the ones that I'm ministering to. And so I want to pray for each one of them. Whatever it is that they're going through in their individual life, would you be pleased to lead them and direct them according to your will? Sometimes some are dealing with something physical. Others are dealing with things financial. Others are dealing with things spiritual. Some are dealing with things emotional or the idea of a death and grieving process. Father, I don't know what they're going through, but you do. And so I ask your hand of comfort, your hand of strength, your hand of encouragement, whatever is needed today, that you would meet their every need according to your divine will. And Father, we come and want to pray right now for that unspoken request. Somebody under the hearing of my voice has a request that they have focused on right now. And Father, they need some help with that. They need some sense of direction. They need to know what they can do about that. So I pray that you'll be pleased to bless them with that unspoken request right now. You'll give them an answer. You'll give them some sense of direction. And we'll thank you and praise you for that. In that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, it's kind of a beautiful day here at the lake because I went up to cabin and came home on Wednesday. It's Thursday that I'm over here to the lighthouse putting the broadcast together. We got some fishermen out there. Matter of fact, we had a little bit of movement right on the top of the water, like the fish were kind of playing around a little bit. Well, let's get started with our message for today. The message of creation, God separated light from darkness. And you know, along with that, I'm just going to add this statement. And then we're going to try to see if the Lord can do that for us through the program today. Open my eyes, God, that I might see. As a foundation for this week, we're going back to creation. When light out of darkness, by God's power. Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The earth was without form and empty, and darkness covered the deep water. The Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Then God said, "Let there be light." So there was light. And God saw the light was good. I want to repeat that. And God saw the light was good. So God separated the light from darkness. God named the light day, and the darkness he named night. That was the evening and the morning of the first day. Man, that's a long time ago. You know, when you think about the changes in my lifetime in 85 years, that's a long time ago. The first day. God himself was there, and God tells us what he did. God separated the light from the darkness in creation. He called the light day. He called the darkness night. When the Lord Jesus came into this world many years later, fulfilling God's purpose and plan for the human race, he is told that he is the light of the world. And he's came into our life as we trust in him for our salvation. He comes in to separate the darkness of our life and give us the light of Jesus himself. I like the way it's recorded in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the Pharisee again. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have life filled with light and never live in darkness. Now, he's telling that to the religious people of his day, and he's telling that to us today. He's saying, you know what? I've come that people can have light in their life. And, you know, I think he's really trying to tell us that the more light there is in your life, the better your life is going to be. Because remember what God said after he created the light out of the darkness? God saw that the light was good. And I believe God sees that the light is good today in your life and my life. By following Jesus as our Savior, as we grow in our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the more light comes into our life, and it drives the darkness out. I like the way it's recorded in 1 John. That's back there at the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 5. Now listen to how simple this is, but it's something we need to hear. This is a message we heard from Christ, and we're reporting it to you. God is light, and there isn't any darkness in him. If we say we have a relationship with God and yet live in the dark, we're lying. We aren't being truthful. But if we live in the light, in the same way that God is in the light, we have relationship with one another. We're learning how to do that. And the blood of his son, Jesus, cleanses us from every sin. And if we say we aren't sinful, we don't have sin. We're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. God is faithful, and God is reliable. I need to say that again. God is faithful, and God is reliable. If we confess our sin, he forgives them, and he cleanses from everything we've done wrong. Remember at creation, God saw that the light was good. And God saying, the light of his Son shining into your life and shining into my life is a beautiful thing. And this light, as it enters into our life, as we become obedient to him, as we confess those things that we've done wrong before him, and he forgives us of those things, then he describes to us what the Christian life is really like. Because, you know, that's a beautiful thing that God did at creation, to separate the light from darkness. But it's also a beautiful thing that God wants to go do for you and that he wants to do for me. One of my favorite verses, and God's still working on it now in my life, and he's going to be working on it in your life. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God says, you know, I didn't only create the world, but I've taken your old life and I'm creating a new life out of your old life. It's going to be a new creation. Here's what he said, the old is passing away and the new is coming. And I believe that's something that God wants to work in our lives as individuals every day of our life. Some of the old things that causes us a lot of trouble and difficulty, he wants it to be less and less in our life. And some of the new things that's coming into our life by claiming some of the promises or some blessing that God has bestowed upon us, he wants that to become the new things that's happening in your life. Well, you're looking forward to what he is doing as you walk day by day in the light. And that light seems to get brighter as we go. That light seems to lighten up even the little dark corners of our life. Have you noticed, folks, how we can adjust to darkness and to light? We don't really like to see a big bright light. When we talked about the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul of Tarsus, we remind you that was a great light shone from heaven and blinded him till he surrendered to what God wanted him to do. You know, that's the way it is with you and I. We understand, you know, my wife and I, when we get ready to go to bed, we have a little night light. when we was up the cabin. I got to tell you, when you go up to the cabin and stay overnight, you got to have a few little night lights. I got some in different rooms as you want to move about at nighttime, because there's no mercury lights up at the cabin area. And when it's dark, it is dark. It's not as dark as the tunnel was that we was in, or the cave that we was in, but it is dark. And, you know, just a teeny little light. You know what I've noticed being at the cabin, the same thing as noticed that being at home, is when you first turn off the lights and you got that little night working, it doesn't seem to give them very much light out. I think, I don't know if I'll be able to see to get around. But all of a sudden, your eyes adjust, and you can see the light. You know, we need to realize the darker the night gets, the brighter the little light shines. And God wants it to shine from your life, and he wants it to shine from my life. In the creation, God separated the light from darkness. And in this new creation that he's trying to bring about in your life, God is separating the light from darkness. No wonder the reason he wants us to do that is because he reminds us light of God's word of Jesus has come into the world, so you and I don't have to stumble through life. I love what God shares in the book of 1 Thessalonians. He doesn't want us to stumble through life. Listen to what it says. But brothers and sisters, talking to those of you who believe, you don't live in dark. The day won't take you by surprise as a thief would. You belong to day and you belong to light, and to the light and not to darkness. I love this statement. You belong to day. You belong to light and not darkness. That word belong, that's a powerful word. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, several times I went to my mom when I was just different things, I was trying to figure out what's going on in my life, not knowing that I had a stepdad and was never told he was my stepdad. I said, Mom, do I belong in this family? Do I belong in this family? You know, now at 85 years old, I know I belong in the family I was in. But, you know, I was just kind of wondering, because others had blonde hair and I had dark hair, and some of those kinds of things that happens through your life when you're growing up. But you know what he's saying? You belong to me. They both are part of our life, darkness and light. And many times God's words would hear read like a prayer. Lord, open my eyes. I want us to think about God. Open my eyes that I might see. Nehemiah was a prophet in the Old Testament time. And one time, he had heard about the hometown of himself, where his ancestors were from, the beautiful city of Jerusalem. In the Bible, it was always talked about the city of God. And Nehemiah had heard that Jerusalem, the city of God, was lying in ruins. The walls had been broken down. The whole city was destroyed. He was a cupbearer to the king there where he lived. And he needed to help the king. He needed some help from the king. So he's getting ready to go talk to the king. Now, a cupbearer is what they had in those days, was any of the food that the king was going to eat, sent by somebody else or even cooked in their own place, the cupbearer would always taste of it first. And if it hadn't been poisoned, he would live. You know, they didn't want to poison the king, so they're going to poison the cupbearer. So Nehemiah, that was his job, and that was a pretty serious job. And you know, when he went to the Lord, and he said the Lord, he needed to pray to the Lord and ask him that as he was going before the king, he's saying, Lord, I want you to open your eyes and ears to my voice and to the thing that I'm trying to say to you. It's just a little prayer that he's doing before he goes see the king. And as soon as I heard these words, I sat down about how Jerusalem was doing, and I wept and I mourned for days. Then I continued to fast and to pray before God of heaven. And I said, now I've got to tell you, folks, this is powerful. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenants and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. That's a good way to address God. Jesus said, Our Father which art in heaven. He's saying, God, you're the awesome God. You're the almighty God. And he knows that. Nehemiah knows that. But then he's saying to him, God, would you do something? He says, you're the one that keeps commandments and all those kinds of things. And he says, I want to ask a request of you. Now listen to what he said in his request. Let your ear be attentive, and let your eyes be open to hear my prayer. He's saying, God, I need your special attention. You ever been in that place in your life? God, I need your special attention, either for yourself or for somebody else. He says, he goes on to say this about himself and his people. Hear the prayer of your servant. Your servant is just coming to you, first of all, confessing the sins of the people of Israel. Us as a nation, he's saying, we have sinned. We've sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned against you. We have acted very corrupted against you and have not kept your commandments. We haven't kept your statutes and your rules that you've commanded your servant Moses. But he's saying, Lord, in spite of all of that, will you give attention to my prayer? Will you open your ears and your eyes to hear my prayer? I love that he confessed who God was, first of all, the great and awesome God. He confessed that they had messed up. And now he's asking God, something that I think we'd all be a little slow about doing. God, I need your attention. God, I need you to listen to what I'm praying about. You know what I call that when I was putting it together for Facebook? I called it the impossible prayer. Have you ever had a prayer like that? It's impossible for me to pray this way. Lord, I want your attention. God, listen to me. God, hear my cry. You know, we don't order God to do things. But sometimes we're in such desperate need. And Nehemiah felt that desperate need that we come to God and we say, God, I need to have you hear what I'm saying. I need to have your ear give attention with your ear. I've always used that verse in many of my prayers. God, your ear is always open unto us. God, listen. It's kind of like I was one time when I was a much younger pastor. I was visiting in a hospital, and coming down the hallway was a couple of doctors, and there was about four or five would-be doctors or soon-to-be doctors that they were teaching. And just as I got ready to go into the room where I was making a visit, I heard him stop outside of the room, and he said, now, when we go into this room and talk to this patient, I want you to listen with both ears, and I want you to watch with both eyes. Because we're coming out of this room, I'm going to test you on what you've seen and what you heard. And you know, I think that's kind of what Nehemiah is saying to God. God, would you listen to me with both ears? God, would you look upon me with both eyes? Hear this prayer of your servant. If it hasn't happened yet, it probably will in your life. Will you come to God and you're going to pray an impossible prayer, asking God for his help, even though you don't deserve it, even though you have no right to it. You're coming to him and seeking his face and seeking his ears and his eyes. I want to take a pause for just a few moments, give my voice a little break. So we got a song we want us to listen to. And this song is entitled, I Saw the Light. And you know, that's what we need to come to from time to time in our life. Where we've been walking in light, and all of a sudden we see some new light. All of a sudden we see something it's got a brightness to it. And we have to see what that is to get our attention. So let's listen to this song, and I'll be right back after we hear the song, I Saw the Light. And I trust today. Here we go. Hang on.
I wonder, so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light. No more darkness. That's the coming to know Jesus. The light that lights up our lives as individuals. But that light has to keep coming into our life. As we go through our different ages of life, we go through the things of the different circumstances of our life. There's every now and then when we need some new light. We need some light from God. Why these things are happening the way they are. And Nehemiah, now as he's ready to go talk to the king, he has some light that he believes God has heard him. The king asked him, why do you look so sad today, Nehemiah? You aren't sick, are you? You must be troubled about something. And then Nehemiah said, I was really afraid. May the king live forever. They often said that. I said to the king, why shouldn't I look sad when the city, the place where my ancestors are buried, is in ruin and the gates all burned down. The king said to Nehemiah, what do you want? The king asked him, so I prayed to God of heaven, as he's getting ready to talk to the king. I prayed to the God in heaven. He knows that he's got God's attention. He believes that. If it please you, my majesty, for you're willing to grant me a request to let me go to Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild the wall around the city. Then while the queen was sitting beside him, he asked me, how long will you be gone, and when will you come back? When I gave him a specific date, he is willing to let me go. I also asked the king, if it please you, majesty, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River. In the letters, tell them to grant me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. Also, let me have letters addressed to Aspen, the supervisor of your majesty's forest. The letters order him to give me wood for the gates of the fortress near the temple of the city. You know what? And a house for me to build, to live in while we're there. And the king let me have the letters. Now listen to this. Because God was guiding me. Wasn't that he had a good plan, but because God was granted guiding me. You know, when you come to that point where you understand it's an impossible prayer, it's only something that God can do. Only something that God can give the strength to endure as you come to me. Nehemiah made his request, and now he also has not only the time to go do the work, but he has all the provisions to do the work that he needs to do. And he'll put the rest of it together. But he's got God guiding him. And that's important. You know, God guides. What I believe the way God guides is one step at a time. He's just saying, take the step today. I'll guide you. I love it when they got ready to go into the Promised Land, they had to cross the Jordan River. And the Jordan River probably was at its highest point. And God said, when you get your feet wet, then I'll lead you over on dry land. God, I got to tell you, folks, it's worth listening to God. It's worth receiving the light. You know what I call that kind of light? Guiding light. Guiding our footsteps. Guiding the directions we're going. To give us a light unto our path. To let us know that we are following him. One day in the Old Testament also, there's another story. And I like these stories from the Old Testament because in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, God said, whatever was written in the former days was written for your instructions. He's saying you can learn from these Old Testament stories. And you know what you can learn? You can learn through endurance and through an encouragement of Scripture to have hope. It helps you to have hope in God. Nehemiah coming to that point where he prayed his impossible prayer. God, give me your attention with your ears and your eyes. Look upon your servant. I met who I am, but I need this. And then God gave him what he needed. That was pretty special. One day in this story that's given to us in the book of 2 Kings, the prophet Elijah was causing some difficulty, telling the king when people were coming to battle against him and so on. He is telling them, don't go there, go here and do this and do that. And you know, when another country got angry with him, they said, well, where is this Elijah the prophet? So they went to the town that he was in, and we recorded for us in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, 15 through 18. When the servant of the man of God got up in the morning and he went outside. He saw troops. He saw horses. He saw chariots. The entire city was surrounded. So he went back very excited to Elisha. He said, "Master, what shall we do?" Elisha said to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We have more forces with us than are outside of us." Then Elisha did a little prayer. And Elisha said to the Lord, "Lord, please open his eyes so that he may see." And you know what happened? He opened his eyes and he saw there was a huge army, much huger than was the army that surrounded them, was an army surrounding the army that was surrounding them. God had his forces there. The mountain around Elisha was full of fiery horses and chariots. And then God gives wisdom to Elisha the prophet. And he prays, "God, would you blind the eyes of this army?" And God struck them with blindness. And then Elisha went to them and he said, "Follow me. Follow my voice, so to speak. This is not where it is supposed to be. I'll lead you to where it is." And Elisha came to the blind army and he led them in a way. And he led them into the city of Samaria. When they came into the city of Samaria, Elisha prayed again. And he said, "Lord, would you open their eyes?" Now for his servant, he prayed, "God, open his eyes that he might see." For the enemy, he prayed, "God, blind him." And now as he gets him into the town of Samaria, he said, "Open his eyes, open their eyes that they might see." And so here's this whole army in a strange place that they don't really want to be. And when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Master, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" Elijah answered, "Don't kill them. Do you kill everything you take captive in combat? Give them food and water, and let them eat drink. Then let them go back to their master." So the king prepared a great feast for them. They ate and they drank, and he sent them back to their master. And you know what the bottom line was of all of that? The bottom line was, I said, you know what? That army never again came against the nation of Israel. We need to understand, God brought about some good in their life. And it all happened because there was an army surrounding the place, and God prayed, and Elisha prayed, "God, open his eyes so he can see." But God has also shown us through Elisha the prophet, we can learn this lesson, that you don't have to destroy everything in front of you. You know what I love of a statement that I should mention more often than I do. God says, overcome evil by doing good. If you're thinking like you want to hurt somebody, he's saying, overcome the evil by doing good. When you do good things for them, it'll take away that evil idea. And God wants us to know that's a good lesson for us to be open to today. Because maybe there's somebody under the hearing of my voice. Somebody's really hurt you. And you would kind of like to get even. But what God would say to you this morning, overcome evil by doing something good. Heap some coals on their head, so to speak. It was an idea of giving them assistance. You know that maybe you hadn't heard that before. Heap some coals upon their head. You know this idea of fire and building a fire? If you come to visit me at my house in the days of biblical time, and you got ready to leave, one of the things I would do is give you some coals off of my fire, put it in a pot, and many times they carried that on their head. And then when I got to where I was going, is all I had to do was take those coals and make the fire that I needed to cook the food. God saying, you know what? Do good to people. Do some good that will help them. I love the way it's talked in Psalm 119 when it talks about God's word giving light. I just took some of these verses. Psalm 119 is every one of the verses talks about God's word. But I just took some of it I want to put together for just a little bit. My time is fast going, so I just want to take a few minutes with this. Blessed are those whose lives have integrity, those who follow the teachings of the Lord. Blessed are those who obey the written instruction. Wholeheartedly they search for God. You have commanded that your guiding principles be carefully followed. I pray that my ways may become firmly established so that I can obey you in laws, your laws. I'll give thanks to you as I learn from your regulations, which are based on your righteousness. I will obey your laws. Never abandon me, God. I have treasured your promises in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Thank you for being the Lord. Teach me your ways. With my lips, I have repeated every regulation that comes from your mouth. Be kind to me so that I may live and hold on to your word. Now listen to this, because this is what I really like out of this psalm. Uncover my eyes so that I may see the miraculous things in your teaching. You know, God is saying a lot of things in those verses. But he's saying, I want to be your guide. I want to be your instructor. I want to be the principles by which you live. I want you to establish your ways by all of my word. I want you to treasure up the promises I've given to you. I want to teach you, even as you repeat upon your lips, something that I have said. One of my favorite verses goes like this. I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. So you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. God is reminding us sometimes we need to take his word and just repeat it. But I love the way he says, uncover my eyes so I can see some of these principles, some of these teachings that's in your word, so that I can understand your guidance and your direction in my life. That's important for us to get a hold of. You know why I believe that is true? Have you ever seen a little child who doesn't want to really look at you or something, you know? And all of a sudden they take their hands and they cover their eyes because they can't see you. They think you can't see them. I had to take a little sip there because my voice is getting tired, I guess, and getting ready to give out on me. But you know, don't cover your eyes and think that God can't see you, because God can see you. God can see you to the point that he wants to give you the light that you need, excuse me, as you live your life today. With those thoughts in mind, there's one more thing. Not only to uncover your eyes. Apostle Paul, God told him that he is going to be a light to the Gentiles. That he is going to be a light to open their eyes to the truth of what Jesus had done, included them, included their life, including their blessing. And you know, Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, he prayed a prayer for the church. I liked him at the beginning of the service. I prayed a prayer, you know, for the unspoken request. I like the idea of what Paul does. He talks about God's great power for the Christians that were in Ephesians. And then he says, since I heard about your faith, I haven't quit praying for you. I remember you in my prayers every day because your faith is so beautiful. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to have knowledge from God. Now listen to what he says. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. That's my closing thought today. Having the eyes of your heart. You see, God wants our hearts, not our heads. And with our hearts, God wants us to reach out with that heart to somebody else. So I'm going to ask a little prayer as we close today. My time is coming quickly to see if I can get some assistance for this voice thing. It's hung on longer than I like the idea of it's hanging on. But you know what he's saying? He's saying, I wanted you to pray. The closing song that we're going to listen to is a song that reminds us that we can not only think of the idea of praying for others, but also praying for the needs that they have, the things they're going through in their life. He's saying, don't you care? Don't you care? God bless you.
Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? 'Cause he brings to your door and you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace, and all heaven just weeps. 'Cause Jesus came to your door. You've left him out on the street. Open up, open up, and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one, but like Jonah, you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you sense such sin? The world is sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight, 'cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. From the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Close. my love. Oh, come away from this mess. Come away with me, my love.